Welcome to E-commerce Explained, the podcast that'll help you to start, launch, and grow your own successful online store. My name is Warwick Hearns, and I'm South Africa's e-commerce expert. Back in 2010, I founded the award-winning online store Action Gear, and I grew that business from zero to doing over 20 million rand in annual revenue back in 2017, when I sold the business so that I could dedicate myself to helping South African online entrepreneurs just like you to avoid the pitfalls which I had to overcome so that you can achieve more success online faster. I'm really excited that you're listening to this, and I look forward to having you on this journey with me, where I'm going to show you how to get your online store started, grow your sales with the best digital marketing methods, and scale your business to bring about more and more success. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review with your thoughts. Let's get into this. Alrighty, guys, welcome back to another podcast episode where we are talking yet again about Black Friday. Surprise, surprise. But this time, we are not telling you what you got to do to make sure that you crash Black Friday. Now we're looking back at Black Friday to see what went well, what didn't go so well, and what can we learn from these lessons so that we make sure that we do crush next year. So with me on audio is the amazing Duncan from TDMC. You guys are probably familiar with Duncan. He's super active in our communities, and we're very grateful for that. So Duncan is like a wizard on all things e-commerce, and I'm really glad that even through this Black Friday crazy time and with Christmas around the corner, he's been able to free up a bit of time to come share his experience and share some lessons that they've picked up, because obviously they're running accounts for loads and loads of big e-commerce players. So Duncan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and about TDMC?
Sure. Thanks, Warwick. Thanks for the amazing intro there. I am blushing. My name is Duncan. I am the director of development for TDMC. So we are a Shopify e-commerce specialist agency with a media division that focuses specifically on e-commerce. TDMC as a whole is owned by three of us, myself, Cheryl, and Nicola. I think you've probably seen Cheryl quite a bit on the Insarka group, very, very insightful on the Facebook and SEM side of things. We've been around for 7 years. We work on some really, really cool brands in South Africa, like Mr. Price and Salomon and Boardriders. And the list goes on to about 186 clients at my last count. This year alone, we've deployed 38 new stores, ranging from small one-man businesses to some big names. We started with Shopify. We were originally Magento developers and realized that Shopify seemed to be a more stable option for the South African market. So about 2.5 years back, we started learning to code in Liquid, and we became Shopify partners. And then after that, we became Shopify experts, where we sit now. And by February next year, we will be Shopify Plus partners. So we've been expanding quite a bit, working with more and more enterprise level business. And it's great because it's given us a bit of insight into the way that e-commerce is heading within South Africa. And obviously with 2020 being the year it has been with COVID, everyone is moving online. Some of the stats that have already come out, I'm sure Warwick will share some of these, but Black Friday alone this year had a 66% increase in terms of revenue in comparison to 2019. Forecasting internally between us, the level that we're at now, we only really expected to be at this level sort of within the next 6 years' time. So I think what's happened is we have now fast-tracked. It's just been an amazing opportunity, working with South African companies, as well as sort of moving abroad with our new office in the UK, and some of our clients that have started to come through from the States as well. So that's me in a nutshell, without going into too much detail.
Yeah, great. And long may the success last for all of us in this industry, which is just a wonderful place to be in right now.
Absolutely.
And you got to say that with a lot of gratitude, because a lot of people have had a tough year, and thankfully people who are established in e-commerce are enjoying a good year, dare I say it.
Yeah.
But it's an exciting space to be in, especially, you mentioned e-commerce was up by 66%, and at the same time, retail was down by 30%. And obviously, lockdown has had an effect on that, but the prolonged consumer shift in behavior will be with us forever. So that acceleration, the fast tracking of the growth is here to stay. So it's really cool to kind of go through this Black Friday, which is a really interesting one. And I think it's so important. Like I say this all the time, is like for us, it's so important for us to look at what we've done, look at our promotions, look at our activity, and see what is working in our businesses and what isn't working. Because if we don't learn these lessons, then we are just we're destined to make the same mistakes over and over. So what we did for this episode, we put out the word to all of our community members and our students and said, like, what worked this Black Friday? What didn't work? Like, what can we do better next year, so that we can all learn collectively through each other to see what worked for others, what worked for us, and let's all make sure that we learn together. Collective learning, I think it's one of the best things about the community that we've built. And again, thanks to you guys at TDMC for being so actively involved in that community. So you know, some of the lessons that we've received from our community members and students, I've got them and I've grouped them into themes, and I'm going to bring them into the conversation. But Duncan, I want to kind of put it to you to kick things off, to say, like, what did you notice with the hundreds of websites that you guys are managing, big retail brands and small retail brands? Like, what did you notice worked well, and what do you think you can do better next year?
So I think straight off the bat, sorry there, it came down to preparation. So in the past, what sort of happened is this Black Friday, Cyber Monday, you know, this day is looming and everyone talks about it all year long. And in previous years, it would always be a last minute rush, like, you know, here's your creative, this is the sale that we're running. And this would be 2 or 3 days before Black Friday actually hit. And that causes a lot of problems, just in terms of testing and making sure that your sales are running correctly. If you are running sales, I will touch on that separately as well as, you know, creative fitting. And what we found, and what we actually suggested rather than demanded this year, was that we have everything ready by the first week of November. And having done that, I'll be very honest with you, we actually closed the office early on Black Friday and we opened a half day on Monday. It was the smoothest Black Friday we have ever had. We did not have a single site go down, a single issue. Everything ran perfectly, and it all came down to preparation, not just from our side, but from our customer side as well, making sure that their stores were ready, their staff were prepped. The second part that was fundamentally important for us was making sure that all of our customers' teams were going to be very customer-centric. So making sure that they had a decent support in place, you know, not necessarily technical, but even that simple response of, thanks very much for your query, we'll get back to you as soon as possible, and then actually following through and having, you know, certain technologies in place. And even if for our clients that can't necessarily afford that technology, having a spreadsheet and keeping that communication open with their customers has been vital to the successes that we have seen over the past week. And I think thirdly, we've been trying to change the mindset of a lot of businesses when it comes to Black Friday and Cyber Monday, because for a lot of new people to e-commerce, they think, okay, this is an opportunity for us to make millions. And that's not the case. Black Friday and Cyber Monday is a massive data mining opportunity. So you want to offer some sort of deal or some sort of incentive that will encourage people to sign up, so that you actually have that customer to market to when you're not running on sale. And we found that with a lot of our bigger retailers, they actually didn't choose to run just a Black Friday or a Cyber Monday. They actually did like almost a Black Friday month. Some called it November sale, some called it clearance. So there was a definite shift away from the terminology of Black Friday, which is a very, you know, it's a very American sort of concept, this Thanksgiving Day and everything's going to be half price and whatever. So we found that all of those different subtle changes that have been made work so well for these retailers. And you know, it's also having partners like YouAfrica as an example, who have really, like, I'm sure most of you would have seen that they've done record numbers of deliveries over this time frame, where they've actually got their systems in place and their support. So it also means that for our customers, when they come to us, you know, we've got an answer for them. When they go to YouAfrica and their other suppliers like Peach and Payfast, they can actually get a response back immediately and obviously feed that back to their customers. So that whole aspect of communication, not just on site, but also with all of your different third-party suppliers, as well as the planning, I think has made this a phenomenal Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Yeah, and what you've said is just so valuable for everybody to kind of maybe listen to that again and just put that into your agenda for next year. Maybe set a reminder to listen to this again next year. But you know, in terms of that preparation, like there was so much training and advice and blog posts and podcasts that went out in the beginning time of November. We did a Black Friday workshop with our premium students back in September to tell them, like, get ready, because just like you say, you can't wait until like the Thursday before Black Friday to kind of think about what promotions you're going to be doing. You're going to miss out. And some of the advice or some of the feedback that came from our students in terms of what they'll do better next year was just to start sooner in terms of planning your deals, forecasting your inventory, understanding what deals you're going to run, creating your marketing long in advance so that you are free and available to do that customer service. Because during Black Friday, if you are so busy trying to create emails to go out and you don't have time or you're not available to pick up the phone when it rings or to respond to emails quickly, then you're going to be leaving money on the table. So that's some important stuff to just make sure that we get right next time. One of the other themes that came up a lot in terms of feedback was forecasting stock requirements and knowing your margins before offering discounts, because it's not just a case of a clearance, really, unless that's your goal. But one of the things that I wanted to put to you was a piece of feedback that came back from one of our community members saying that their lesson to improve on next year is to spread your marketing activities across multiple channels. Maybe your Facebook ads aren't approved in time. Maybe Facebook blocks your accounts, as they tend to do these days for no particular reason. So what kind of advice can you give on that angle in terms of marketing?
So what you've said there is actually spot on. So spreading it out and spreading it early. So I happen to see, and I think Cheryl may have responded to a lot of the queries that I saw on the Insarka page, but to me, and no offense to all of you listening, I think a lot of you left it very late. you know, when you start to get disapproved the night before. Just in Facebook's defense, we have a dedicated account manager at Facebook, and I know that from an approval sort of level, they are running on short staff, much like the rest of the world. So that's probably why a lot of the queries didn't get responded to in time. But yeah, it needs to be spread out. And one of the other big things for us this year is that we put quite a bit of focus into lead generation and the build-up. So yes, you're going to have ads running, you know, whether you're canvassing or you're looking for conversion, whether you're running remarketing, like those are all fantastic. It is good to get those done ahead of time. And even if you just activate them just so that they can go into approval and then pause them until you're ready to go, that's already going to save you a lot of time and a lot of heartache. You know, we see it quite a bit where bikinis are disapproved all the time because they are considered inappropriate pictures, and they actually physically need a human being to go and validate them. I literally had this yesterday. It was the problem with a client's account. So as an example, if you're selling bikinis, make sure that you set up your ads with your creative ahead of time, get them into review, make sure they're approved, then pause them and get them going again. One of the other big things as well that it's really important to consider is when you're doing this sort of approach and you're building up to this, is make use of Google Shopping. I've seen one or two comments recently where people say, you know, social, but I'll be brutally honest with you, Google is your low-hanging fruit. So make sure that you've optimized your campaigns, your shopping experience and everything on Google, because that's going to be the first place that people go to. I mean, you don't go to Facebook to look up where you can buy something. You go to Google. And
especially during this time of year.
Yeah, especially during this time of year, 100%. Make sure that you've got everything ready, and that on your physical site as well, remember that you need to make sure that customer can get to your product straight away. You don't want to put them on this really complicated landing page that they need to sort of move around and shift and try and find what they're looking for. You want to have it in their face. So as an example, if you were running a Black Friday sale and you are going to send people to your homepage, have a banner that says click here to go to the Black Friday sale, or have a Black Friday tab at the top, or at least the sale tab. you want to make it navigable so that the people that you are sending through from ads, and when I say this, I'm not looking at your existing customer database or existing customers that may click on your ads. I'm talking about new users, because going back to what I said earlier, for me, the new users are the most important, because these are now people that are now sitting in your database that you can remarket back to, you know, throughout the year when you aren't on sale, as well as for next year, Black Friday. And then also having these new customers and segmenting them further is going to help you build your audiences when you're looking for more conversion-orientated campaigns.
Absolutely. I love that. That's such great advice. Such great advice. So good to get that from you. Appreciate it. Something that that we can't skip out on is a lot of the feedback that we had from our community was about having a backup plan. And we've touched on this now for your marketing. And I love that idea of submitting your ads in advance, getting them approved and pausing them. But one of the noticeable things that happened through this Black Friday was that Payfast had some downtime. A lot of merchants are using them and we're left stranded. So a lot of the feedback that came in, and a good lesson for us all to learn from this experience, is to have a backup, Peach or Paygate or another. And same for your couriers, and to have, you know, the like backups for all of your service providers, just like a backup plan at all. In terms of like your website, so I know Shopify is super stable, and we haven't had issues with that on Black Friday before, which is, you know, touch wood, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
WordPress is dependent on your hosting, but what other backup plans should people be keeping in mind?
So in terms of backups, like let's just use WordPress and Magento as an example, because they tend to be the two that fall over the most. I was trying to think of a nice way to put it, but that's pretty much how it is. You know, there are so many different things, and this is where I get quite excited and quite nerdy, that we can actually do to make sure that our site is going to be ready for Black Friday. So first and foremost, for those of you that do use Magento and do use WordPress, you guys need to make sure that you're using a content delivery network. Basically a CDN. They do cost money. I recommend Cloudflare. It's about $200 a month, even if you just use it for your busy times. So what a content delivery network does is it basically builds a wall between the internet, your site, the server and your site. So it basically preloads all of the heavy information straight into the cloud. I'm trying to think of the easiest way to explain this. So all of your images, all of your text, some of your JavaScript, but most of your HTML and CSS will all be preloaded in the cloud. So what happens is the user comes along and they hit Cloudflare, so everything renders immediately. So you can sometimes cut your site speed for those of you that are sitting with sites load times of over, say, 7 seconds. You could probably cut that down to about 4 seconds by having a content delivery network in place. So the purpose of having this is that if your site gets overloaded, your site is still up. It hasn't fallen over. And it also reduces the amount of strain that is putting on your server, because I know most of you will use shared servers like Xnilo and AfriHost. A couple of them have these shared service options, which are the cheapest options to start off with. But as you scale, you need to start looking at obviously more secure and more stable servers such as SiteGround. But once again, there is a cost attributed to using these different platforms. So in saying that, that should sort of put a bit of a safety net in place. So at least people aren't going to, you know, sit and wait and see that little spinning icon of death waiting for the site to load. You know, they'll actually still be able to browse. And then as soon as that happens, they can then jump in and obviously go through and shop. So one of the other things that I would suggest that people start looking at is setting up the way that their website actually calls information. So a traditional sort of server works in the sense where I land on the website, and as I click on something, it calls it from the server and it brings it back. So that's me. And that's okay when it's just me. But what happens when there's 50 of me or 100 of me, or actually one of our clients sits with about 1,000 active users every minute? So what happens at that point is that there's no way that all those people can get that information all at once from the server without it crashing or needing to restart. So in that sense, it's really good to chat to a developer, or actually not really a developer, more of a DevOps sort of person, and actually look at putting things like workers in place. And the way that a worker works is it basically comes and fetches batches of 5 people at a time and brings them through so that you're not overloading the server. And a lot of these features are available in platforms like Cloudflare, as an example. And then obviously from a, you know, when your site goes down because of traffic, it doesn't mean your site is gone forever, but I do recommend you always keep a backup. You know, Shopify has a backup that's done automatically, and most service providers like Xnilo will provide you with a backup. But you want to put these things in place to stop that downtime in the first place. Then there are also a number of tools that can be used for traditional websites, such as WordPress or Magento sites, where you can actually do load testing on your site ahead of time. So I recommend doing this in like October, where you can actually facilitate, and you can guesstimate how many people you think are going to be on your site. And you can go into one of these load server, load testing server sites, and you could say, I want 1,000 active users, but I want it to transition slowly. And then what you could do is say, okay, you've got a database of 100,000 people with potentially an immediate open rate of 5%. So say you send that mailer out, you know that within a 1 minute period, 5,000 people are going to hit your site. So that's going to give you the opportunity in load testing to say, okay, what happens when 5,000 people all hit my site at the same time? And it will send this sort of load test traffic, and you can actually find the breakpoints in your site and then improve on that.
Sure. And that's, it's so important to get that right. And for a lot of people starting out, that sounds a bit intimidating, but that's where you partner with guys like yourself at TDMC or get a developer involved. But just to go like to the layman's kind of version of this, like, I think it's important to highlight like how much impact it has when your site loads slowly. So like, what are the, do you know the statistics off the top of your head, like when a site loads like a second slower, like what does that do to your sales?
So it's quite interesting, but it actually goes up in increments. But basically most people expect a website to load within 5 seconds. And that's time to interactive. Not the time, you know, because some websites will load everything, but you can't do anything for a couple seconds. So what we've seen is for every second after 5 seconds, you're going to sort of drop off about 25% of your traffic.
Amazing.
So it's quite substantial. Then you'll get people that have a 14-second load time. And you can see this for most of you that have analytics set up. Go and look at your bounce rates and go and look at the amount of time that people look. So just for those of you that don't know in analytics, bounce rate 100% is not a great score. you need to be much lower. That means 100% of people have literally come to your site and immediately left. You want to see that being relatively low, and you want to look at each channel and analyze why those people are bouncing off. Then you can also do behavior mapping, and you can go and run a speed test on your site. Google Lighthouse offers quite a cool dev tool for that. And you can see, okay, my site takes 4 seconds to first paint, and then it takes a further 10 seconds to full render. And what I would suggest doing there is actually going and analyzing what is slowing your site down. So the biggest problem for a lot of businesses, and our clients included, and this is where we're trying to improve from our side, is they use too many apps. So I've seen stores that have up to 40 applications running. And don't forget that every single application that runs uses some sort of resource. So it also depends where that application script is firing from. So if it's in the head and it fires on load of the page, that's perfect because it'll tend to come up relatively quickly. And then chances are the CDN will catch it and pull it through. But you know, if you're putting it further and further into the body and you've got all these funny, fancy things that start happening, you're setting yourself up for disaster. Simpler, the better.
Cool. I like that. Simple is better. And, you know, the load speed thing is so important, even for the Insarka website, which is not on WordPress or Shopify. It's on an e-learning platform called Kajabi, just for what we do. And there, with all the video and the graphics, like, we have to have Cloudflare running for multiple reasons. But it's also just because I understand and appreciate the importance of loading time as a critical aspect to not lose customers. But I think you and I, we could geek out on this stuff all day long.
Yeah.
But one of the most pressing questions that I had from a customer, which, when I read this question, I can kind of feel the person's pain coming through, and it was quite a long question, which I've summarized to one sentence that I want to put to you. The question is, how can small retailers compete more effectively?
So, I'll be very honest. Just don't do Black Friday. It's a technique that I've noticed more and more businesses building up on. So there's been quite a few. One of our clients did this go outside and play. That was their thing. It was a slap in the face to everyone else, even the guys that sold their products. It was a slap in the face to them in the sense that, okay, cool, these guys, you know, they're not just jumping on the bandwagon. I am not a fan of big sales. I think I've had this chat with you, Warwick, when I've driven with you, where I don't like big sales like Black Friday, because I feel that it devalues your brand no matter what you're doing. And it is difficult to compete. You know, there are guys out there, like, I know there's a lot of different retailers selling the same thing, but you don't want to undervalue yourself at the same time. And I know for a lot of you, you're probably thinking that's not really an answer to the question, but my theory behind it, my backing behind it, is that you need to do something different and break that mold of, so say I sell DeFi washing machines, but I can't compete with, Takealot, who are obviously buying in bulk, but I might not be getting the same pricing and I might not get the same sort of bulk pricing that they get. So it's almost impossible for me to run a discount. The other thing as well is when you're running these discounts, for those of you using Takealot, what margin are you making? Because this was something else that came up, and it was a question that was posed to me recently. And I said, well, you know, if you consider, say, you're selling your product for 1,000 Rand, and then you're knocking 50% off, are you actually making any money once all those commissions and fees come off? So just to go back to your original question, how can you do it better? You can do it better if you prepare, going all the way back to the beginning of this, then have your redundancies in place, which was something just very quickly to mention. We said, you know, with PayFast going down, I've been working very closely with the Peach Payments team over the course of this year on a couple of our big clients, and they actually didn't have any downtime. And that's because they don't sit on Bankserv like the rest of the payment gateways. They've actually got their own independent approved systems. So having those redundancies is very important. But then it's also the way that you communicate. I will give you a prime example of really bad service from Black Friday. I'm not going to mention the brand, but I bought a printer last year in November on the 23rd. On the 29th, which was Black Friday. I received that printer on the 12th of March. And no one could tell me where it was, what courier it was with, why it wasn't with me. I actually completely forgot about it. I think they refunded me. I'm not too sure. And then one day, like, the courier just arrived with the printer. And, you know, that is a massive retailer that I bought from. So you may think, like, oh, I can't compete with these guys, but you can, because you're a small business owner or a medium-sized enterprise owner. You have control of the service that you can give a customer. So I know personally, I will rather shop from somewhere that I get a better experience from and I have more options than from, like, one of these massive retailers, because I know to them I'm just another number. Whereas I know with a small business, I'm actually supporting someone on their business journey.
Absolutely. And I agree. And personally, I love shopping with people, our students and our community members. I just bought a new Samsung S20 Ultra and made a habit of made it my effort to go and find one of our community members, Snapcrates, down in Durban, actually. And not only did they actually have a better price than other big names, but it was delivered, like, the courier was out the next morning, even though I'd ordered late in the afternoon the day before, from Durban to Joburg. And the owner, Kerry, gave me a call just to check that everything was okay. Like, how amazing is that? And
You see,
like,
that's.
yeah, I'd happily support the SMEs over the big retailers anytime, especially when they are our students and community members.
Oh, exactly. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's yes, it is about making money, but it is also about growing your brand and having that sort of aura of amazing customer service associated with it. Because you don't want to end up, well, yes, everyone would love to have a massive organization and sell it off and whatever else, but it's really it's about keeping it personal with your customer. And the scary thing is that with a lot of the big enterprise businesses, they can still do that. I think for a lot of them, they just choose not to. And that's, just a bit of a stark reality when it comes to the online world.
Yeah, and that circles back to what you were saying in the beginning about one of our key focus points during a crazy time like this is customer service, because that's always going to be our advantage. Customer service, customer experience, and product expertise, product knowledge. Because the big retailers can never compete with us on those levels. And that's why it's so cool for like SMEs to focus in on a niche where customers choose to shop with you because you are the niche experts. It's one of the things, like Takealot will never ever compete with you on that. All they've got is pricing and a lot of people on their website. But now I'm interested. Now you said something that probably caught a lot of people's attention. That's the one option to compete is to not actually do Black Friday. So just like as a percentage wise, I'm interested. Like out of all of your hundreds of clients, how many of your clients chose not to do Black Friday this year?
I think about four in total.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. Like I suppose there's a lot of like what you say. I agree with it, and I like it makes so much sense to me. But at the same time, like us South Africans, we love deals. On the consumer side, we love deals. But then from a seller point of view, we're like, hang on, is there an opportunity to do a deal here? Let's do it. And that's, I suppose, is why Black Friday has grown in South Africa faster than some. Like in 2017, there was a res after the Black Friday, there was one stat that came out that. The growth in Black Friday sales in South Africa was bigger in percentage wise than anywhere else in the world. And I think it was just South African consumers and sellers all woke up to this idea of like, wait, there's another opportunity to do a sale. Let's get in on this. So it probably makes a lot of logical sense to skip out on it from a brand preservation point of view, but it's also tempting to just get in and try and get some sales.
It is if you align your goals with what your outcome of Black Friday is. I mean, for our clients that didn't do Black Friday, they have enormous databases that grow organically and off obviously campaigns that we run for them, which is fine. But for some of our smaller clients that took a little bit less of a brash approach, like there was no Black Friday sort of, these massive banners and bells and whistles and things sort of floating and screaming at you, because that's another thing that really annoys people when all you want to do is shop, but you've been smashed with about six pop-ups and Mary Beth and wherever has bought this for this, click now. So what a lot of them did is they actually boxed quite smart and they started doing up and cross sells. So I'll give you an example. I bought a t-shirt off one of our client stores, and then as I was checking out, it's like, do you want these shorts? So I was like, oh, actually yes, I do. So I added those to cart, and then it increased the basket value. And then on one of our other clients, I was looking at shoes, and I actually completely forgot that I'd set up this function for them. But I was like, oh, click on this, and then all of a sudden it says, do you want to upgrade rather to these, and you'll get 10% off. So it was a little discount, but I was like, actually, yeah, no, I do want the new ones. I don't want the old ones, so I went with those instead. So there are ways to box smart. If you can't necessarily compete with the big guys, you can still come and create your own bundle deals. And if I go back to the washing machine example, say Takealot can knock 2,000 rand off the price and you can only do 1,000, but if you have access to maybe really good economical like washing liquid or those little pods, why not throw that into the deal to sweeten it? So buy washing machine X and get four packs of these pods or whatever for Y amount. So there's always a solution to everything. And the reality is that a lot of these businesses, these big businesses, had to start somewhere as well. And they were probably also competing with someone. So, and I always go back to my old MySpace Facebook example, where MySpace, I don't know how old the whole audience is, Warwick, but I think a lot of them weren't around or don't even know what MySpace is. But you know, when MySpace was around, I remember people saying, "What's this Facebook thing? You know, that's not going to do anything. Look how boring it is." And now none of us know where Tom from MySpace is, but we all know where Mark Zuckerberg is. So exactly. Just because you're the small guy doesn't necessarily mean that you know, the big guys are going to be taking you down all the time. And the trend that we've noticed quite a bit now is that people are shopping with smaller businesses. So, you know, it's great. We've got like the Checkers 60/60 app. You know, you can shop, pick and pay online and so on and so forth. But people are starting to make a shift to smaller businesses, a lot more localized, you know, with the exception of maybe technology products. But we've seen a real shift towards locally made product. And yeah, it's also just when it comes to your site, and you know, this doesn't just apply to Black Friday, but be quite specific about what you sell. You know, there's enough Take Lots, there's enough BattleBars, there's enough AliExpresses as an example to go and buy whatever you want. But yeah, and I know you've pushed on this as well in your courses, Warwick, where it's you know, almost find your niche. And stick to it and do well at it. And yeah, you'll fly through these sort of periods. And yeah, just to go all the way back to where I've started this, because I do tend to waffle a little bit. The purpose of Black Friday, the way that I see it, is for you to get data. So even if people aren't buying necessarily from your store, make sure that you're catching their details. So, you know, whether it's push notifications or SMS or email, make sure you're gathering their information, because just because they didn't necessarily shop that weekend doesn't mean that now in the build up to Christmas, they're not going to come and shop. So that is the purpose of Black Friday for me. It is a data mining exercise where, you know, you want to get as many people registered or as many people signed up to your emailing database so that you can further market back to them at the end of the day.
Yeah, I love that. And it's really nice to just circle that conversation back to the beginning, to just say, like, it's just important that we learn from these situations, like what worked, what didn't work, what can we do better next time? And to always do that with anything that we do. And Duncan, it's been so insightful just to hear your experience coming from the collective wisdom of hundreds of shops and from your years of experience yourself. So is there anything kind of jumping out top of mind that you want to just throw in before we wrap it up to call this conversation complete?
Yeah, I just, you know, for obviously all of the NSAKA members, just really, you know, don't lose faith in your store. Quite often I see comments like, "Oh, I've spent X amount and I haven't made anything." And, you know, I see a lot of negativity, but at the same time, I see a lot of positivity where people have put in some time and effort. And I'll give you a practical, TDMC, I started in the evenings. And now it's my full-time job, and I've got offices here and in the UK, and I've got other offices opening further north. And the thing is that, you know, put time and effort in, do your research, and it really is very much about trial and error. So, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. Once again, that's the other thing that I try to press into people, is that, you know, your ads, use them. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, you've got to test your audiences and sort of build up and build up. And then you'll see, like, your sales will start to come through. More and more people will convert. Give that great customer service, because remember, and really in South Africa, this is really important, that word of mouth is a really, really, really scary tool. You know, it can either like make or break your business. So make sure that the service you're giving your customers is amazing. Try not to ignore angry people. Try to find a solution for them. But yeah, I would say, you know, just keep going at it. Obviously, do Warwick's courses. There are guys like me around that you can reach out to if you have any advanced development questions and stuff. And yeah, you know, it really is just a journey that you guys have embarked on. And you know, it's a really exciting space to be in. And I think for Warwick and I, we get to speak at a lot of events, and we get to see all these really amazing success stories that come out of this. And that's something else. Just before I sort of get kicked off because Warwick's giving me the eyes, like I'm taking too long. I feel like the Oscars where that, you know, the hook is going to come and pull me off. It's just really important to go and read about other people's success stories. You know, they give you motivation. They might inspire you and give you new ideas. And also don't be afraid to think out of the box. There are a lot of people out there that have done some wild things, and yeah, it's just paid off in the long run.
Amazing, yeah. I wasn't suggesting that you wrap it up. I was kind of just enjoying the wisdom that was kind of, that you're imparting on us. But thank you again. Thank you once again for coming and sharing this
absolute pleasure
this experience with us. And yeah, let's get you on again. This has been so interesting. And for anybody who is looking for advice from TDMC or from Duncan, you can hit Duncan or Cheryl up in the Facebook groups. I hope you won't mind. Or we'll link up. We'll also add their contact details, not personal cell phone numbers, but the company office numbers will be shared beneath in the show notes beneath this podcast. Thank you, Duncan. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you and all of the support that you do within the community. Really, keep doing what you guys are doing.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Really appreciate it. Best of luck.
Awesome. Cheers for now.
Cool. Cheers, eh?
Thank you for listening to this episode. I'm excited to have you along on this journey with me, and I wish you all the best with implementing this information in your own online store. If you'd like to access my free range of e-commerce strategies, tools, and mini courses that have helped thousands of South African entrepreneurs just like you, then be sure to visit insaka.co.za/free. I'm looking forward to chatting to you in the next episode. Till then, take care.